Yay! Hi, everybody. Go, David, go. Good to see.
Okay, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Especially Interesting podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, David Graham, and I'm here with the wonderful, if not slightly poorly, Tigger Pritchard.
Yeah, hi there, everybody. But to do the trigger warning, it'll be in the first bit as well. Literally an hour ago, I found out. You can see that there. Yeah, you can all see that there's two lines there, right? So I am with the bug. So definitely David's in charge tonight, just to make sure I'm okay. Always my boss, but especially so tonight. But we've got a cracker. We have got a gorgeous one for you, and I know my enthusiasm is going to take over. So sorry, back to David again.
Tonight we're here with Ben, and I'm gonna hand it straight over to Ben. So Ben, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself and what we're here to talk about?
So I'm Ben Ashbaras. I'm an ancient history graduate from the University of Kent. I work with Alcademy, and I have my own page, Autisticality.
Brilliant
My
page.
thank you. My dedicated interests, well, other than gaming, would be Marvel, which the Marvel Cinematic Universe specifically, which is what we will be talking about tonight.
Fantastic. So, Tigger, do you want to take it away with the first question?
So, when did you first discover or realize that you are awesomely autistic?
Think it was, I think it's 17, through CAMS, and then I didn't really explore it much until university when I met Chloe Farah from Academy.
Brilliant. I didn't know that. That's lush. You actually met her in person. I've yet to have that kind of like awesomeness. Yeah. Both you and David and Chloe, loads of folks I haven't met yet because it's all via this, but one day I will. I promise I will. Especially once the COVID's gone, but I definitely will. It should be lush. That is awesome. I wasn't aware of that. And your degree wasn't aware of that either until I got the email. That's really interesting too. But that could be another podcast. You see, I digress. Sorry. So tonight, what are we going to talk about?
The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So, where do you want to start?
I guess where I first like met the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is I think when I was 9 years old when I watched the first Iron Man movie, because that's what kickstarted the whole thing. And I can remember flashes in my head of watching the first few scenes of the film back in my dad's apartment. And at that time, I was only 9, so I didn't really have much like understanding of what was going on. So I just played on the floor and watched it in the background. The same happened over the next few years where I just watched the first phase of films just on the side. And then I guess subconsciously, I was just absorbing all of it because I was realizing I was like acting out things that I'd seen from the films without realizing. And then I think it's until Captain America Winter Soldier, which I saw in the cinema, is when I first like properly kickstarted my obsession and dedicated interest into Marvel. That's when it just I lost all brains and I just flooded Marvel out of my brain.
Absolutely lush. You see, I mentioned in, we were messaging beforehand. I mentioned that I'm of an age where I could just remember the comics, and then before you two were born, they had really good in my day. But you look back and you go, they had the Hulk on television. Good. What's that? 70s, 70s, and they had Spider-Man. Where the tune came from. So I had all of those, but I have to say, the hit for me didn't come. I was interested in lots of the geek and science fiction stuff. But the hit for me also didn't come until I saw the movies. And Iron Man, I saw at the cinema. It's absolutely superb. And Robert Downey Jr., just, I mean, they were, I don't know if you've read, they were trying to get Tom Cruise to do it, first of all. But it would never have worked. It had to be him. It had to be him because he is Iron Man. Do you know what I mean? So I love that. And Captain America as well. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I'd say Robert Downey Jr. is the perfect role for it. I was reading because I've got this huge like Marvel making of the Marvel Cinematic Universe like book, and there's a section about it of John Favreau, the director, calling him in. And as soon as he came into the room, everyone just paused and was like, this is the guy, because he just owned the role. And I think I love Tom Cruise as an actor, but I just couldn't see him.
No, I mean, I don't know if you know Robert Downey Jr. I've followed him as an actor for centuries, from Chaplin and the other stuff he's done. He's had a really checkered history as well with substance issues and so on. He's been to the bottom and he's come back, and I also respect him for that. But again, I could never ever see anybody else but him in that performance, because he absolutely brought he's just perfectional. And honestly, the first movie is just I've watched it so many times since. It is so gorgeous. And Jeff Bridges is another kind of actor I follow a lot as well. So it was just like boom, really, just fantastic for me.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. was the perfect choice for Iron Man, in my opinion. I cannot picture any other actor playing Iron Man. But moving the conversation along a little, what is it about Marvel, that draws you in as an autistic person?
I think, well, there's two main things. I think it's looking at Marvel from like the MCU perspective, in the sense that everything's like interconnected. I love it as like a whole. It's like, I don't know what the word would be, like just knowing that things have consequences and goes on, and you stay with the characters. They mean something to you. They're in your life, and they, when you look, one of them passes, it actually hurts, which you don't really get within a one hit film. And I think the other part is heroes in general, superheroes. I think you see them as at their worst sometimes, and they're often a misfit society, or they look broken sometimes. And I think I relate to that heavily, in the sense that, well, as autistic individuals, we're massively like discriminated against, and we feel like low in society. And then advocating like I do now, I feel sort of like a superhero, in the sense that your voice gets out and you do something good. And I think that's why I love it. I just can't get enough of it.
Absolutely. And for sure, Ben, you are a superhero. I've seen your page.
Oh, yeah, Lush.
Seriously, anyone listening to this, go and check out Autisticality. It's such a good page.
I share it as well. Brilliant stuff, and you should be really proud of it. It's growing. It's going to be mega. It is really cool. I've got off on tangent bits, you know what I'm like, but it is absolutely lush. But going bring ourselves back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'd mentioned before that during the first lockdown, it was my I call her stepdaughter to be. She's just lush. It was her idea to watch every single one in order, one day after the other. And I have to say, spoilers, in case anybody hasn't. If you haven't, watch them. But spoilers, please. In Endgame, where Iron Man does his infamous I am Iron Man, and all the bit after that. Wow. I mean, I saw it in the cinema, and the cinema was packed, a place called Weybridge, just down the road from where I live, and it was a small cinema, but beautiful. And it was packed on a Sunday. It was packed on a Sunday. It was packed. And I remember in front of me, this little boy's voice going, "No, mommy, no." And I was like this. I was biting my hand like this, going, "Oh, no way, man." And I half expected I'd kept away from the spoilers. It really hit me. And the other thing you said is about their journey of vulnerability. All of them have done things maybe they're not proud of, and they've grown as human beings, so to speak, as characters. And I think that's been really important as well. And I think that's something I like, is the fact that their vulnerability, and also the mask wearing, I have to be honest, I like too. But the, you know, as a you know, metaphor type thing. But the growth and the fact that they show their vulnerability, is something I just I'm drawn to, and you know, just empathize with so much, feel for it so much, because I get that vulnerability aspect. And you don't often see that in so many movies, especially kind of superhero movies. So they're formed as full-bodied individuals, if you see what I mean. And that I think. That and the connectability is just incredible, absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I'll just quickly say it's a decade for Iron Man, or I guess technically over a decade. So seeing that growth firsthand in like the time is because they try to stick generally to real like time, like each year is a different year per se. And I think that's where other films or franchises can't compete because you can't really show full character development within one film, or they try to do it in maybe a trilogy, but even then, I'd say it's still hard to connect sometimes to a character like you do with these.
Do you have any other favorite? So I have to be honest. I think I've got Iron Man and Captain America, and their connection with each other, and they're kind of like brothers, and they're kind of not love and hate, but do you know what I mean? They're brothers. That's how I see it. They're brothers. Sometimes brothers squabble. Yeah, sometimes they do get on, sometimes they don't get on. But I see their journey arc particularly incredibly awesome, and you're right, because of that arc of a decade plus, you don't get it in trilogies. You don't get another. Other movies. You do in Lord of the Rings, I have to say, because there's also a massive book and a whole lore of history to back it up. But certainly on the screen as a standalone, and I think the cinematographic universe has just been absolutely incredible. I've loved it.
And so many other franchises have tried to do their own cinematic universes since, and they just haven't hit the nail on the head the way. The only other cinematic universe that I enjoy anywhere near as much as Marvel is the Conjuring series, which obviously is the horror films. I do enjoy the cinematic universe they're creating out of those films, but the Marvel films, in my opinion, even the ones that are a bit, iffy, are still really good to watch. Whereas in The Conjuring, there's one or two of them, and I'm like, you put all of the good bits in the trailer, and there is nothing else to watch.
I mean, you've got to drop in DC here and just go. There are some Zack Snyder's one. There are some that are just yeah, but really, why are they trying to copy? They look to me, it feels like they're trying to jump on the bandwagon or copy, and it's just not going to work. It's not going to work
I mean,
because Marvel have got it.
I'm probably going to start a riot in the comments of wherever people are listening to this, but my response to that would be, does DC still exist? Because I haven't watched their stuff in a really long time.
The Zack Snyder one is good, but others they do not compare
I am
the complexity of Marvel
fervently
at all.
Team Marvel. But we've who is your favorite character, Ben? Do you have a favorite, or do you have a group of favorites, or
Whenever I talk about Marvel, I'm always asked, "Which who's your favorite character or who's your favorite film?" And I can never decide because it always changes on my mood, and I can't pick one just because they're so different. Like at some
is there
point, I'm
one you relate to the most?
I'd say maybe Captain America in the sense of like scrawny blonde kid, who's bullied, and then wants to do good and stand up to people. I mean, that's I guess the most relatable one.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that's probably quite a relatable story for a lot of autistic people. You see, for me, I relate to Doctor Strange quite a lot, because with my history of falling down on my face and getting back up, Doctor Strange, he was this top level surgeon, wasn't he? And then he, through circumstance, it's all taken away from him, and he has to create a new life for himself effectively. And I really relate to that. And I think Doctor Strange, I wouldn't say he's my favorite character, but he's the one that's most relatable for me. Tigger, what about you? Do you have one that's most relatable for you?
I love the relationship between Iron Man and Captain America. I love Captain America. In fact, if I'm honest, I think he's the films I watch the most, especially the origin one. I've watched again and again. It's like I watch it, love it, watch it again, comfortable, safe, secure. But the relationship between him and Iron Man, I really get into because it's just so true with their ups and downs and their scraps and their, I think, utter respect and love for each other as well, which I think is really important. So those two always stick out for me. But comedic awesomeness, Groot is just lush, right? And I'm looking forward to the, is it a cartoon series they're doing of his? or is it a live action, Sabik? I don't know.
It's like a five short series.
Is it? So I'm looking forward to that. Where he's supposed to be a rebellious teenager, I think I've read. That's going to be interesting. But no, for me, it's. I mean, the ensemble is. It's incredible. It's incredible. But that interplay between Captain America and Iron Man, to me, is something, again, that resonates incredibly. And I've just found their journey so important as well, and something I relate to. But I think, again, that was just handled with... I just do think the whole thing, you know, that whole phase there was handled with so much professionalism, so much compassion, so much understanding of the fans and what they wanted and needed as well. I think it's just... And that's why I look at others' franchises and I think, you're not even going to get near it. What are you doing? You know, you're just making it worse for yourselves almost. So, but I adore, and I keep dipping in. I keep watching them, rewatching them, because they're just so important and they're so powerful. I haven't got the shelf that you've got at the back there. So forgive me, I'm on three kind of screens here. But yeah, I'll turn that one off, sorry. So I'm kind of like, absolutely, the shelf you've got. Come on, what have you got in your shelf? I can see Iron Man. I can see an old Captain America shield.
Yeah, so I've got, I'm trying to do this, Iron Man's helmet. I've got Lego Infinity Gauntlet, which I've just ordered the new one. They've released the Nano Gauntlet one, so I can have a collection now. Some comics at the top, small little old Captain Shield, Infinity Gauntlet mug. And then behind some of the stuff that I know, I've got the full, like the box set, the collector's box set of all the first three phrases.
I mean, we're going to release this on YouTube at some point. So first of all, it's coming out, so you'll hear it as a podcast. So my apologies for those that can't actually see what's there. There is a lovely shelf behind this awesome young man, and it is full of gorgeous Marvel stuff and some other things I think you see as well. I have to be honest, I've got nothing. If I had more money, I'd get some Lego. I want Lego. I want Lego stuff more. I'd really get into some Lego Marvel stuff, I must confess. That'd be lush. And the gauntlet, that'd be superb. But an Iron Man helmet. I'd love that. That's dead cool. If you ever want to get rid of it, just let me know. But yes, that's gonna happen, is it? But that, look at your faces, like, ticket, it never gonna happen. You know, I could hope. that is absolutely superb. And I love that stuff. Was there any movie after Iron Man that really stood out for you and really made an impact upon you?
It's probably the obvious answer, but I'd have to say Endgame. Say that's my most watched film. That as soon as I watched it in cinema twice, and then
wow.
I saw as soon as it came out on DVD flashlight online to watch, a year after I've at least watched it 50 times within a year, I just, it's my comfort film. I say to go to, I can like, I just, it's just memorized in me, so I just have to say that.
You know, it's interesting. My comfort film, I think I'm going to have to add of that whole lot, I'm going to say, is Captain America, the origin story. But I still can't watch Endgame without that emotional experience. And I think at the moment, I think I'm going to say it's still Raw. Isn't that interesting? I think the whole, I still have the very powerful emotional memories of seeing it at the cinema and then seeing it just two or three times myself afterwards. On my own and with groups of individuals, and still getting that incredible, because of the journey I'd done over a decade plus, that incredible emotional impact. So that's interesting. I find that one still difficult to watch. Isn't that strange?
See, for me, the most impactful of the films for me was Infinity War, because the moment at the end, which is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I won't go into details because it involves quite a lot of triggering stuff, and I don't think it's the sort of discussion for the podcast. But it helped me work through my own very complex mental health concerns. The way it ended actually helped me overcome a certain level of fear I had, and for me that made Infinity War a really important film.
Yeah, I'd say it's what kick starts the massive like whole Thanos arc, or obviously the whole MCU first three phases of Thanos leading up to it. I'd say seeing them all come together properly for the first time shows just how powerful this whole universe is, and how like the variety of characters they've got, and all the relationships and links to each other, where they're going to Wakanda, and then you've got Titan and all the mix of characters, and it's just, I think I still can't get out of my head in Infinity War when Spider-Man dusts away and in front of Tony, and it's just the,
No, see, well, no. No, that one, that bites really bad. That does. That was perfectionally done, and now that still bites. Have you seen any of the What If?
Yes, I don't mind it. It had interesting takes on certain arcs. I'd say the Captain Carter one was one of my favourites for that one.
But for me, they had different voices for some of them, and that didn't work for me at all. So when some of the original characters weren't voiced by the original actors, that just meant I was just like, oh, it's not so and so. So then I just was like, oh, it's not. Because so part of it for me is the actor, I think, as well. So no, I was quite kind of like, oh no, not into those. Carter, yeah, definitely, and a few others, but some of them I went, no, doesn't make sense to me, doesn't work for me at all. So I find those a bit difficult.
I'm going to go off on a tangent now. Yeah, me. But it's like one of my autistic pet peeves when voice actors change. As I think, Ben already knows this, but my favorite video game in the world is Destiny, and they had this character called Cade Six in it, and because of a disagreement over contracts for the voice acting, they changed the voice actor to someone who already was doing the voice of another character,
Couldn't
but
do that.
could quite well emulate the voice of this character. But I don't know if it's because I was autistic. The minute they changed the voice actor, my brain went, "That's not Cade.
Yeah,
That
no,
is
I
not
hate that.
Cade,
Same
and
here.
I'm not having any of this."
No, I don't like it all. My partner is an actor and does voice work and is about to be on a big show and some other great stuff. But so I understand that world a lot. I understand the world of contracts and voice acting a lot as well, I guess. But the minute you change something, to me, it just like you, I just so in the What If cartoon, I just sat there and went, in one particular one, I went Denis Boy, I just sat there and went, oh no, sorry, no. No, I didn't watch it. I never watched it at all. I just went, I'm not watching this. It's not so and so. And that completely threw me. And those imperfections are the only things that have got to me a little bit in the Marvel Universe in those phases, those early phases. But no, I think I'm very much emulated by the people behind, the actors who put their own selves into various performances as well, which I think is really important. So we've got those first phases there. Ben, what do you think about the new ones that have come out since after Endgame?
I have mixed reactions. Obviously, it's Marvel, so I automatically love it. But it's a direction that's interesting because I think they're opening it up to more like a cosmical enemy, so that, like a galaxy fight, if I could say it like that. So it's interesting seeing different aspects of the universe rather than just like seeing the Guardians, for example. Some of the takes on it of a question. Just because some aspects and like storylines that add in cancel out past actions, for example, like trying to think of an example.
What is?
Yes, well, I won't mention the example I was going to mention. But yeah, I'd say it's interesting to see all these. Well, some are new, some are old, but seeing a whole like influx of different characters come into the MCU. And also, I think they're tackling quite a good few issues. I think WandaVision tackled a bit of grief. I'd say Falcon, or yeah, Falcon and Winter Soldier tackled racism. Loki talked about gender and sexuality, I think. So it's interesting them like using the platform as like not necessarily education, but just like awareness and helping like so people can identify as certain characters now. There's more freedom.
I think that shows us particular power that Marvel realise they have, and the responsibility I think they have also. So the Ms. Marvel and so on, I haven't watched all of that yet. I've been a bit stuck on other stuff. That I thought was, from what I've seen, particularly well handled. Loki, I'm sorry, there's another character I adore. It's Loki. Absolutely superb, yeah? the Winter Soldier and Falcon, brilliantly done as well. And the others, I'm kind of... I don't know if I'm getting in. I don't know if I'm getting a bit of Marvel universe's overexposure, but I also still feel like the power of those first phases is still with me so much that I can't quite immerse myself into these new phases as much as I want to. Does that make sense?
I think I'm worried because the first few phases you had were really good quality. Well, there's something else, but they're still really good quality. And there's good quality in this phase and coming phases, but I think they're also pushing quality, quantity, which doesn't give the same. Oh, there's three Marvel films a year now, but now it's like five TV shows, two films, three films, and it's not the same. You don't get excitement as much because you don't anticipate waiting, I guess.
I know, on different formats, you can wait to binge watch them as well.
Mm.
Which some of my friends who do with some of them. So I haven't done that with Ms. Marvel. Excuse me, but with some of them, you can binge watch and get the whole story. I think you're right. The thing that worries me at the moment is the foom. There's so much coming out, and I'm finding it hard to keep up. The Spider-Man movies, Tom Holland. Wow, absolutely wow. I think his character arc has been fantastic too. And as you said, that bit in Infinity War was just so powerful, so gorgeous. And I've got to be honest, a very emotional scene that I go back to. I go back to that end scene. I'm going to put out in the blurb lots of spoilers here about the movie so that everybody knows and about the other things we discussed as well. But certainly there's, you know, it's hugely emotive, and I haven't yet had any of that impact from, apart from Spider-Man, possibly. But then again, that's a 10-year-plus arc, isn't it, to get to that? So you've got to know some of these people over like a decade plus. I suppose there's a difference there. But So time will tell. That's an interesting one in a multiverse, what the new batch will bring. But the first phases, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, and something that I don't think, you know, from a visual viewpoint, I'll ever forget, really. And the power of them has just been superb.
Something we haven't discussed, a lesser talked about part of the MCU. I mean, don't get me wrong, Loki is, in my opinion, one of the best series, not just in Marvel, but literally just one of the best TV series I've ever watched. But my favorite MCU TV series was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I really want to see more of Daisy Johnson and Quake.
I'm going to have to own up to something really bad. I'm sorry, Ben, about this. I've never watched it. I just felt it was one step too far at that moment in time. I have to say,
sorry,
I haven't. Look at me, I think I'm going red. I haven't watched any of those because I just couldn't cope with all the information from that, as well as all the information from the Marvel Universe that was there on the big screen. So I haven't watched any.
What I loved is that it shows you the real world implications of what's going on in the overall Marvel Cinematic Universe. I mean, I don't know what your opinion is, Ben, but I think that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gives you quite an important insight into, you know, like when it shows, like, because obviously you've got one of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and, you know, who is Quake and has her own superpowers. And when the Sokovia Accords come out, you know, there's this whole thing about she has to sign the Sokovia Accords, and you know, it shows you you get to see the impact of the big blockbuster films on the lesser people in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, if lesser is the right word.
I hadn't thought of that. That's really quite interesting. I must confess, I hadn't thought of that at all.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is one of my top TV series. I'd say, I will admit that I do feel it disconnected a bit from the MCU after a few series. But when it came out, yeah, because it came out after, it's not really, it shouldn't be a spoiler because it was like a decade ago. But when Phil Coulson dies in the first Avengers film, and seeing the first trailer of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and seeing him in it and being like, how is he back and stuff? I mean, that was the excitement and adrenaline I got from that in the first few series was amazing. And I will, yeah, I do find the later series a bit up and down, especially as because I watched Agent Carter as well. That was one of the series I really liked, although I did have my issue of because Peggy Carter's partner at the SSR, I think his name's Daniel Sosa, he's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the end, and it bugs me because the actor that plays him is also in the first Avengers film as a police officer, sort of recast to someone else, and it throws on my end seeing that.
Yeah, no, that kind of, yeah, when you have those inconsistencies, and we notice them, don't we? When you have those inconsistencies either in script work or, certain scenes and so on, or actors, being again reoccurring, that does, even though I know it's a film, that is something that does bite me and something that makes me go, ah. So when it's issues with continuity, whichever form they take, that really does get to me. But no, I will dip into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at some point.
My main criticism of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is they get a little bit too hung up on the whole Inhumans thing. And that's, I think, where it starts to depart a bit from the MCU. And then they bring in the Chronicons or I can't say it, but yeah, like it gets quite complicated towards the end, and I must confess, I haven't watched the last half of the final season, partly because I don't want the series to be over, because for any criticisms I have of it, it is literally one of my favorite TV series of all time. And it's that thing of I could watch it and then start from the beginning again, but actually I can't bring myself to a point where I want to admit that that series is over. I've been with it for 7 seasons. It's definitely worth a watch. It's definitely worth a
All
watch.
right, you educated me there. I will definitely dip into that. So there's so much out there at the moment in the geek universe. I will definitely dip into that. But we've had these phases. We have Kang. There will be a big spoilers thing. What about all the crossovers that are coming up? Do you have any excitement, fears, anything about those?
In the Marvels, seeing Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, and I think the person, I can't remember her name, the one from WandaVision,
Oh
Maria Rambeau's daughter, I think.
yeah.
Seeing them is going to be interesting, and obviously Secret Invasion, Secret Wars potentially, all like, because I've read the comics for it, and it's going to be interesting how they pull it off, and I'm hoping they do it justice. I think that's my most exciting thing, and potentially Fantastic Four if they have John Krasinski recast, because he was amazing in Doctor Strange too.
Oh, you
I
see,
loved him as that
I
guy.
will put spoilers out. I will put spoilers out. But I was reading on the net only today that it might not be him. They're trying to get Henry Cavill into the Marvel Universe, and there's rumors that he's the one in that role because they had pictures of him up with his beard on. But like you, no, I think the one we saw in Doctor Strange was fantastic, and he's been. Have you seen the bits where he talks about where he? He was he was he trying on Captain America's uniform or something to do a screen test, and Chris Hemsworth walked by and he just went, yep, nope, fine, what's the point? Yeah, I went, no, and freely admits that he went to screen test but realized he couldn't fit the role. Wow, he's grown hugely since as an actor and a person. I think he can totally fit a lead role with the Fantastic Four. And the other thing I was reading, sorry, is that there needs to be a new moral head. And we had Captain America for that. We had Steve Rogers for that all through those original phases. And though Spidey's cool, he's young. He's cool, but he's young. Let's respect against you youngsters here. But I just think that that he could fill that quite awesomely. But we'll have to see. These things are sometimes chucked at us just to fool us and worry us and get us talking, which they are, yeah. But no, I'm really in fact, I don't. Did you ever see the There were two. I mean, I can remember a Fantastic Four TV series. Sorry, the cartoon Lush, and then they did some films which were pretty okay, I thought. And then they remade them again, and they made a Fantastic Four one-off. And I've never watched it because the reviews were so bad. This is before Iron Man came along, if memory serves. Was it before Iron Man came along? I can't remember.
I think it was just after.
But it was so bad. I haven't watched it. The reviews are really bad. So I'm really looking forward to a Fantastic Four reboot. And I've got to say this as well. Geek that I am, when I have all these things pop up on Facebook, when I should be doing work and so on at 3 in the morning, there's the bit where the whole of that Marvel universe, the whole of those early phases and everything has to own itself back to a film called Blade with Wesley Snipes. Because that was the first big Marvel hit. And that was although it was some time ago, that was the first domino that fell that made the people that run the studios think, do you know what? Because they tried Marvel films over the years and they'd failed. And they were really badly done. But Blade was the first one that was a massive hit. And it made them think, well, hang on a minute, could we? So I've read an awful lot about that. Have you come across that at all?
Yeah, in that book I mentioned earlier about the MCU, it's massively like mentioned how Blade was the keystone of creating, like, Kevin Feige's inspiration, I think. And I'd say it wouldn't be possible without that. I'd say that, and I think they're doing Blade again or a sequel of some sort in the next phase, which would be interesting how they tackle that.
They've got the actor I've seen playing it is an Oscar-winning actor who's been in some incredible films. He's the minute I heard his name tagged, I can't remember his name, I'm sorry, I was like, wow, he's a really good actor. And I could totally see him doing they think Wesley Snipes will be in it in some sort of cameo, but that's what I'm hearing. But I have a sneaky feeling I think they'll do Blade justice. It's just that I am getting lost. I'm getting lost with the multiverse. I'm getting lost with all the characters out there. But there's still that anticipatory excitement and that need to see what's happening next, that need the minute the movie comes out. I was supposed to go and see Thor this week, but now I can't. So that's going to be a real annoyance. But like the Spider-Man movies, I saw at the cinema, absolutely incredible. And the Doctor Strange one, lush. The fold and everything. I'm a geek, science geek, so I love that kind of stuff. So there are certainly movies I'm desperately drawn to. I'm trying not to overload myself. And of course, there's other geek stuff like Umbrella Academy and Obi-Wan and Strange Things and the rest of it that I'm watching again at the moment. And it's like this. It's like I'm overwhelmed with awesomeness. And it's like I can't take it all in at once.
And I'm just saying we have to have a Stranger Things episode because just finished season 4. And
oh, yeah, no. I mean, I mean, I'm going to, sorry, Ben, because he made me go off on the tangent. He did. Honest, he did. But I can remember buying the Hands of Love album at W.H. Smith's in Nottingham, I think I was, when it first came out, whenever that was, 80-something. And now it's massive again, which is superb. But the Marvel, I keep going back to that Captain America movie and rewatching it because I adore it, and that's very much become a safe place for me. So whenever I need a bit of reassurance that the universe is a good place, I go back to that person as a moral hero, as a hero, as a person, as a regular guy. Who keeps that, the bit when he points to him, keeps that bit of his heart, keeps that bit of his soul. I keep going back to that, and I love that. So that's something I keep visiting because I find it so important to do so. Are there any clips you go back to at the movies that you look at? Any clips that you, watch that again because you can?
Other than the obvious, like, Endgame snap and stuff, I'd say one of them would be Captain America Winter Soldier. I'd love the elevator scene. I think that whole film was that's like my second favorite Marvel film. That's just perfectly done. But also, Black Panther. I think Black Panther is up there. I think Chadwick Boseman is an amazing actor, which I'm massively worried about the next film and how they handle it. But
so am I. I have to say, have you seen the trailer?
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, sorry, Dave. I do. I mean, that, David. I'm really, yeah. Because that that to me were one of the brightest, best Marvel movies out there for in the whole of them. And then, you know, and I saw him act in other films. Absolutely superb actor. And then boom, and you think, oh God, cancer, yeah? Trigger warning. And you just think, whoa. And that film was so powerful on so many different levels and so respectful on so many different levels and so many messages to so many minorities, kind of. The power he brought to it, the presence he brought to it. Yeah, I like you, I'm nervous of the next one. And I've gone through all the chats about the latest trailer and everything to get any bit of evidence that I can. You know, anything. But it'll just be have to be a wait and see, won't it? Do you think you'll... I did the bit with Endgame where I consciously, until I'd seen it, kept away from the internet completely. Do you think you'll do that with Black Panther 2?
I can't do that. I love surprises, but I need to have some idea. I'd say usually Marvel are pretty good with their trailers. I'd say the only one that I'm more annoyed at is the Spider-Man No Way Home trailers, mainly because that just gave away so much, more than they should have.
Yeah.
Otherwise... trailers are amazing to when they drop. I just it's goosebumps.
I mean, that bit when that we saw the Illuminati and so on, and you just heard Patrick Stewart's voice, because I know him from Star Trek. I was like, yes, that was so cool. That was so cool to see. And that image, I think in the third one they dropped, where you just saw a bit of his chair, and you thought, oh yes, that was cool. But for Black Panther 2, I think I have to be honest. I think I will. I'll be desperate to have any clues for that when they come along, which they're bound to at some point. Of course, once it's out, it'll be all over the place. But what I'm hearing, people are saying it's, you know, people in the show, in the film, are saying it's really powerful. It's really respectfully done. But wow, they're going to have to really, I was going to say up their game, but do you know what I mean? They're going to really have to do something awesome to be as good as the first one, and also to pay respect to it, and also to pay respect to the character and the actor. So I am somewhat anxious of that one, I think it's fair to say.
Right, well, I've got one more question, and then I'm going to let Tigger take it home with his favourite question. What do you hope to see from the future of the MCU?
God, that's a difficult question. I'd say they need to keep what they're doing. They keep doing what they're doing. I don't think they should diverge too much because they've got a good thing going, which is what they built the whole last decade for. I'm excited to see all the younger, new characters that are being introduced, them teaming up, them creating bonds and becoming a team. That'd be interesting how they do that. And I hope that they do that respectfully and well done. It's all about, yeah, I think it's just making it quality rather than quantity. I'm hoping that's, they learn that and they don't force anything that doesn't need to be forced and don't change anything that doesn't need to be changed, which is with Ms. Marvel that just came out. It shouldn't be too much. I don't mean it's a spoiler, but they've changed a little bit of details from her powers are a bit different. I think they need to, I know there's creative freedom and stuff, but I think they do need to respect a bit more of the comic books sometimes. I think that's what I hope for in the future.
I mean, this is what you don't often get. You don't often get a wealth of back material. And oh my God, there is a wealth of back material with these movies. Hugely so. And that's a bit, and like you said, that, you know, if I'm kind of dead from my answer to your question as well. I cannot believe the quality that those first movies delivered, those that decade plus movies. It was incredible. And it seemed to increase in quality almost with each movie to the last ones, which were incredible in a way I've never seen that come together on the screen before. I remember there was was it the guy that directed Goodfellas? I can't remember, but was it Francis Ford Coppola or somebody said that he didn't think that, you know, these Marvel movies were proper movies. And Robert Downey Jr. went, really? You know? I mean, he's an Oscar-nominated actor, you know, and has done some really good stuff. in all the genres he works in. And I think he answered that quite eloquently, which was, well, yeah, you know, look at the emotional response you've had from a lot of people across the planet. And that's the thing I worry about, is them losing that thread a bit and just chucking so much stuff with, you know, the advent of television as well as the movies, that they forget the light, that beacon that was those first phases and those first incredible movies.
See, personally, I just, like I said, I really want to see more Quake. Like, that character was amazing in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I want to see Quake actually be a bigger character in the MCU.
I'd also like to hope that, it's an unrealistic dream, but I'd like to hope that Sony gives up Spider-Man back to Disney, Marvel. Because the fears of losing Spider-Man and Tom Holland from the MCU, that weighs on my mind a lot. I loved, obviously there's been, I can't say there's been three trilogies because of Andrew Garfield, but there's been three Spider-Man, who we saw obviously in No Way Home. And I think actually that's one of my favourite, it's one of my favourites. It's a favourite film, seeing all of them back together. I mean,
heaven, absolutely. Yeah. I screamed at that, and so many people didn't. Absolutely, just went.
That's just amazing. And also, you got, around that time, you get so many questions of who's your favourite Spider-Man, and I don't know how people can choose. I had to tear it, but I think they're all amazing actors, and I think Spider-Man is one of my favourite superheroes. I just can't fault it.
I think you're right there. There's that fear. I think I read at the time that Tom Holland got on the phone and said, come on, folks, we've got to pull this together for the whole planet out there wants to see it happen. And you're right, there's always that fear of money behind it, you know, capitalism again.
I think it's especially because the last film, the way it ended, where it's like a clean slate, it worries me that Sony's just going to take that clean slate, take Tom Holland and make their own universe type thing. That's what I'm worried about.
I mean, I'll put spoilers out. I've said this already. I'm going to say I can't see that happening. What I'm actually saying is I really don't want that to happen. That would be wrong. That would then pull me slightly away from the next Spider-Man movie. But I don't know. I mean, I think they'd be fools to do so, but I'm not a massive media film guy person. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. All I know is that they're striving, they're continuing to try and build. I do get excited. I haven't seen Thor yet, though I've heard some reviews. I do need to get to see it. Doctor Strange was lush. The TV shows have been fantastic on the whole. And I'm just looking forward to what comes next with that interconnectability. But I have to say, you know, they've got those first movies, like I said, Black Panther, they've got so much to build upon. I'm not saying they've made it impossible for themselves, if you see what I mean, but they've got so much to build upon in those original phases. So much, the quality and the way they target your heart and soul is just immense. So I really should get to the last question, which is the usual one at all. So come on, Ben, what is your favourite stim?
I'm not sure I have a physical stim lately. I'd say my favourite stim is visual stims. And I don't know, you can't see it, but my Pop Bunker collection of right in front of me, that's what I always like, draws my eye. I'll see if I can.
So we're having the camera the camera turned around.
A collection of Pop Bunkers, that's the visual stim, I'd say, is my favourite at the moment.
Wow. I don't know how to describe this. When the video comes out later on in this year, you will see this. Ben, how do I describe this? Massive Captain America shield as well. Sorry. Wow. I tell you, absolutely wow. Lush.
It's like 60, I think, at the moment, and I've got like 20 on order waiting to come. Gonna run out of space, but it's worth it.
Fantastic. Lush.
No, I have a similar collection of Pop Funkos for the Destiny collection. And I've definitely got to find someone I can invite onto this podcast just to talk about Destiny.
I'm going to put that out. I'm going to put that out tonight. Please. I'm going to say we've recorded this. I'm going to say, boom, you know, Destiny. Young David needs some Destiny to discuss, which is gorgeous. So, Ben, thank you so much, A, for recharging your spoons enough to be able to do this. That's so important. I know this has taken a lot. We could talk for hours. I know, but we'd all be shattered. But there is so much of this universe to explore, so many bits in movies I want to explore with you. And I might do that via text. So I should do that, really, etc. But I would say thank you. Thank you so much for coming on board, for agreeing to take part in this, and for you know, for storing enough spoons in place to do so this evening. That's been fantastic.
Thank you for having me.
Well, yeah, thank you, Ben. It's been a fantastic episode. I'm definitely going to go away and watch a bunch of Marvel stuff now because I'm in a Marvel mood.
I might do the Captain America bit again. I think I'm going to have to.
Okay. So thank you, everyone who's tuned in. This has been the Especially Interesting Podcast with your co-hosts, David Graham and Tigger Pritchard.
Woo-hoo!
To you,
thank
by
you.
Academy.
We'll see you again soon.
We will see you again soon. So take care, everyone. And goodbye.
Bye, everybody. And thanks again, Ben. Bye.